Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Not Recognize Jesus. Today's message is based on Ezekiel 34, verses 20 through 26, and Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. But let us open with prayer. O God, our guide and guardian, you have led us apart from the busy world into the quiet of your house. Grant us grace to worship you in spirit and in truth, to the comfort of our souls and the upbuilding of every good purpose and holy desire. Enable us to do more perfectly the work which you have called us, that we may not fear the coming of night, when we shall surrender into your hands the task which you have committed to us. So may we worship you not with our lips only at this hour, but in word and deed all the days of our lives. This through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. So now let us turn in our Bibles to Ezekiel 34 and verses 20 through 26. Therefore thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Because you have pushed with side and shoulder and butted all the weak ones with your horns and scattered them abroad. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between the sheep and the sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and all the places all around my hill a blessing. I will cause showers to come down on their season. There shall be showers of blessings. So as we are now well past Easter, and we turn to clarifying who Jesus really was. We begin with a selection from the prophet Ezekiel for today's reading. If you read from the beginning of chapter 34, you would find that God is displeased with the shepherds of Israel. Now in the Bible, when we talk of a shepherd, the issues are usually directed toward the leaders of the people, with the people being the flock. The leaders are usually to be the religious leaders, but this may also refer to political leaders, the king, and also in Israel, like no other country at its time. These lines often cross with the king having religious responsibilities and the priests being politically involved. Consider the Sanhedrin that opposed Jesus. So what are the duties of a shepherd? Mainly to care for the sheep, to find them pasture and water, to protect them from wild animals and bandits, to ensure the prosperity of the flock. We often get the idea of Jesus carrying a lamb so gently, but forget the purpose of the flock was to feed and clothe people. But like any resource, if you mismanage it, you will soon find yourself bankrupt. If the manager is only concerned with self and not the overall prosperity of the flock, there will come a time when the flock has been depleted to a point where it is not sustainable. The evil intentions of the leaders of the people will deplete the resources, the liberties, and the freedoms of people to a point where the people simply cannot survive. Look at the nation of Venezuela today. After decades of socialism and greedy leaders, there is simply no food for the people and no way to get any. So we begin today's lesson with, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep." If you read the entire chapter, you will notice at this point the change of pronoun used from a pretty constant I to my. God is declaring that he is taking control of the situation because of the inability of the leaders to do their job rightly. Who would be the fat and who would be the lean? The leaders in it for themselves were the fat. The people were the lean. Anyone who has worked with animals know how at feeding times the stronger will push the weaker aside to get the choice feed, sometimes leaving nothing for the weak who become even weaker. This message even addresses the exiles to Assyria and Babylon, where the people were scattered due to the leaders' disobedience. But God here promises to save my flock. We must also note the pretty plain language of judgment. I will judge between the sheep and the sheep. There are many in this world who truly believe that all will be saved, that there will be no judgment for salvation or damnation, but they are wrong. We have here the very word of God, here and in many other places in Scripture, even the very spoken words of Jesus that speak clearly of a coming judgment. And then going to verse 23, I will establish one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, my servant David. This is not literally meant the man David, but one of his lineage, a descendant of David, one of David's house. This we know today as Jesus the Messiah, a firm promise of God that we now recognize as fulfilled in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. Now let us turn to the Gospel of Luke. In chapter 24, we'll be reading verses 13 through 35. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of the things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned and crucified him. But we were hoping it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Then Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at table with them, that he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. They knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose at that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon." And they told about all the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So we are still on that third day after the crucifixion, the day of resurrection. It is later in the day. We find ourselves on the outskirts just west of Jerusalem. Two of the disciples are on their way home to a village called Emmaus. These two men would have been in the upper room at least for a part of what happened that eventful Sunday. There were more than just the 11 in that room. Could have been as many as 100 or more. These men close by and walked to and from Jerusalem each day, the original commuter. Now, walking to the west, they would have had the sun in their faces, but I don't believe that this was the major cause of their inability to recognize Jesus. William Barclay makes a notation that a true Christian would always face the sunrise and not the sunset. It is poetic in thought, but not practical if your home is westward. However, these two men were in a state of confusion and not clarity. They had heard wonder stories, but were unsure as to what to think about all that had happened. I can almost imagine their conversation as they discussed what they had been told and what they believed it meant. Suddenly, a third man was on the road, and they invited him to walk with them. Now, this was a kindness, as a lone man is always a target for robbers. The stranger asked them what they are so earnestly discussing, and the two men, somewhat amazed that he did not know of the events of the last three, and they briefly tell of these events. But notice how they describe Jesus. They describe him as Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and the people. They recognize the miracles and the teaching, but still only regard Jesus as prophet. They have not yet understood. They had anticipated the Messiah, but their hopes appear to be squashed by his death. So is this where many of us are today? We all like the warm and fuzzy stories about Jesus, but we do not yet accept Jesus as a personal Savior. We do not yet believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Do we see Jesus as a pleasant thought but not alive and active in our lives today? Do we not yet believe and accept that Jesus suffered, bled, and died a horrible death for our salvation, a sacrifice to God to restore humanity from a fallen state to the possibility of life eternal? We all like to celebrate the resurrection, but we dread talking about the other part, for it is just too gory. And this is where these two disciples were, but they had a huge benefit in actually having met Jesus. And Jesus said, "O foolish ones and slow of heart, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory?" I think it was just rude for the stranger to call those who had invited him to walk with them foolish. In Jewish culture, this was a very serious and demeaning statement. Whoever is called foolish has every right to be terribly offended. But Jesus here justifies his words with two major points. Everything that happened to Jesus had been foretold by the prophets hundreds of years ago. If a person really knew the scriptures, they should have expected these. Human nature plays a big part here. We do not expect the hero to ever underperform. If the Messiah was to restore Israel, how could it happen with suffering and death? We continually try to put God into our way of thinking. To really understand the mind of God, the way God thinks and operates, is beyond our limited human capacity. I think these two men had a good understanding of Scripture, but had refused to cross the divide between the physical world and the spiritual realm of God. And this is where faith comes into play. We must have faith in what we are taught to accept things beyond what we can actually touch, feel, smell, and taste of God's Word. This is the second slow of heart part of the life of these two men, but also of our own lives. Then Jesus explains all to them. This translation puts it as he expounded to them all the Scriptures and the things concerning himself. Expound means to present and explain a theory or idea systematically and in detail. Is this how we read our Bibles? Is this how we study Scripture? Do we attempt to find a shorter, easier way to understand God? Like the spaghetti sauce commercial, everything we need to know about God and Jesus is in there. The Bible is our answer to finding life. I am sure Jesus is a far better teacher than anyone today, and these two disciples received the lesson as well as it could ever be taught. We should not merely hear the word or listen to the word, but we should always desire to understand the true meaning of the word. This is the result of expounding. Now the two strangers invite Jesus to stay and dine with them. It was nearly evening. The rules of hospitality would have demanded such an act. After some persuasion, Jesus agrees to go in with them. The main point here is that Jesus will not force himself on us. We must invite him in. Barclay puts it as, with the gift of free will, we can use it to invite Christ to enter our lives or to allow him to pass on. Now, a typical simple dinner for two travelers would be bread of flat loaves and a dish of sauce with herbs and vegetables. If lucky, some fish or meat. You break a piece of the bread, you dip it into the sauce, usually a common dish for the whole table. You eat the sauce-soaked bread. But there's no double dipping. Usually the host, the owner of the house, would preside over dinner and not the guest. That Jesus assumed this role indicates the two men recognized him as in some elevated position. And it came to pass, as he sat at table with them, that he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. Then he vanished from their sight. Now we use this verse often in our own communion service for the very practical reason in that it demonstrates the proper order of and the very unusual way Jesus returns thanks to God. Our meals are very essential for our survival. We would soon starve to death if we didn't eat. But notice that Jesus first blesses the bread. He gives thanks for what is given to him, no matter from where it comes, for it all comes from God. Was the blessing Jesus used one that his disciples would recognize, or was it the earnestness of the blessing? Could have been the evident relationship Jesus had with the Father. Whatever it was, it opened the eyes of these two disciples as to who was they had been walking. As suddenly as he appeared, Jesus vanishes. I have been at a couple of tables where I wish I could vanish, but the word, the work, the message Jesus had come to present was delivered and accepted. His work here was done. And they say, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the Scriptures to us? This response from the two disciples should be the response all of us experience when we read, hear, or have Scripture taught or explained to us. When we come in understanding of what God is telling us, we should glow internally, just like when we eat really spicy food. I've eaten food so hot that I break out in a sweat. Imagine that same feeling coming from the Word of God. The Word has taken over your being. It overwhelms you. You begin to realize that this is what is all important to you, more so than anything you have ever experienced. And they rose at that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." It was late. It was past time for travel. No one else would be on the road at this late hour. To walk back to the city now would be very unusual. Yet they went. They had news too great to wait. It was about 7 miles from Emmaus to Jerusalem, about 3 hours at a walk. But I bet they got there much faster. This is the power of the good news. It is not to be hoarded or saved, it is to be shared. The message of Christ is really not ours until we have shared it with others. And Jesus, in the days after the resurrection, only appeared to the disciples. Why? The majority of the population of Israel had misunderstood the ministry of Jesus while he was alive. Their hearts were hard and cold, but mainly they, like the two disciples on the road, had preconceived what the Messiah would do, and they would still refuse to recognize the message. It was time for Jesus to ascend to the Father to glory and to turn the task of spreading the message over to the disciples. It was no longer a look at me message, but rather a hear the good news message. If one man makes a statement, it only carries so much weight. But when a group makes claims in earnest, people will begin to notice. I have heard some that can't understand why the two disciples didn't recognize Jesus while on the road. They had spent time with him. They had listened to him. Had they become so convinced that he was dead and that is that? I have heard the same people say they would definitely have recognized Jesus under the same circumstances. But how often have we not recognized Jesus in our own lives? Have we mistreated someone? Have we not been honest? Have we harbored a grudge or even hatred? If so, we have, at that moment, not recognized Jesus. We live in a very confusing time. There are many conflicts in our lives. If we don't listen for the words of Jesus offering us a blessing, and I mean listen hard, we will not recognize Jesus at a very important moment. When life gets tough, that is a time we have to listen the hardest. When we doubt, we need to listen hard. Maybe we did not recognize Jesus. If we allow a quiet time in our hearts, we will recognize Jesus and what he desires of us. It takes a little effort on our part, and we have to be open to what Jesus wants and not just to what we want. The Holy Spirit in the presence of Jesus may surround us at all times, but we must allow them to enter into our lives. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. Almighty God, be gracious to us and bless us and make your face shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Empower all the peoples to praise you, O God, that the nations may be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and you guide the nations upon earth. Enable all the peoples to praise you, O God, for the earth has yielded its increase and you, our God, have blessed us. We ask that you will continue to bless us so that all the ends of the earth will revere you. So go now in the peace of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station or join us in person at Christ Reigns Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
King through all eternity. Keeping you informed. First in the Valley, News Talk 1400 and TalkWinchester.com.